What's up, y'all? Your resident City Cast Chicago theater lover is back with another recommendation and world premiere. This time, I'm talking about Timeline Theater's homegrown play, Black Sunday. It follows a Texas family trying to save their farm during the Great American Dust Bowl of the 1930s. To say it was rough is an understatement. Now, while some family members want to pack up for California, some are still holding on to hope, even as one of the country's most destructive dust storms of all time is fast approaching. Take a remarkable trip back in time to witness this haunting story of climate change, migration, and family. The play is running now through June 29th. For tickets and more information, visit timelinetheater.com. Today on City Cast Chicago, there's been a lot of grocery store news lately. Foxtrot and Dom's closing, the Kroger and Albertsons merger, and don't get me started on all the neighborhoods in Chicago that don't even have a grocery store once their local Aldi or Walmart packed up and abruptly left. But the grocery store isn't the only place to get fresh food. We talk with an expert about alternatives to the big grocery chains and how to bring those options in your community. It's Monday, April 29th. I'm Jacoby Cochran, and this is What Chicago's Talking About. Matthew Ruffy is the board president of Chicago Market, a consumer-owned co-op grocery set to open in Uptown this week. He's also the senior program director at Link Up Illinois, which helps connect people on food assistance programs to local grocery options. Matthew, welcome to CityCast.
Boy, Jacoby, thank you so much for having me here. This obviously is a topic that everyone's really excited about, and I think there are things that people can do in every community. So really, really excited to be here today to talk to you more about this.
I love that the word you used was excited, because when I start talking about where Chicagoans can get food, it oftentimes makes me angry. So, Matthew, what's important to know about the state of food access and insecurity in Illinois and Chicago?
More than ever, I hear people talking about it. I think the pandemic brought into the forefront for people, it's not just someone else's problem. You know, even if just one time you tried to go to your grocery store when everything was great and shelves were sold out of something, that didn't happen in a lot of communities ever. And now it did. And so when I watch a news story that says, hey, there's no bread on any of the shelves down in insert community here, it's not just something that I'm breezing past. I can start to relate to it. I can say, oh my gosh, I remember that when that didn't happen. I didn't have that either. And even though I had the ability to drive to another store or another couple to go find
it. But that's the moment you realize it is not always in your control, your ability to get access.
Correct.
Like it isn't just, I have the money. It's not about that anymore.
Yes. And so I think, yes, to the empathy side of things. And I think a little bit to the someone needed to smack us all upside the back of the head a bit to say, correct, hey, this isn't just happening somewhere else.
Besides our grocery stores, what are alternative places where Chicagoans can just simply pick up groceries?
Depending on the neighborhood you're in, grocery stores might not even be in the top 10 of where you can pick things up. The reality is, and I think you're saying it right, especially in these, whether you want to call them a food desert, a food apartheid, you know, but in these very underserved areas, sometimes the place where you can get food might be the gas station. Sometimes the place where you can get food might be the liquor store. It's not ideal. I feel like so many people talk about that and almost look down at that.
Without a doubt, it is one thing to say we would like for there to be more options than the dollar store and the corner store. Mm-hmm. But in that conversation, like you said, we sort of run over the fact that, like, well, people got to eat today. And to know that that process is often demonized and looked down upon, it doesn't help sort of imbue empathy for the people who are managing the options they do have.
So very well said. And I think that's one of the things that I've been excited about lately, coming back to that excited word that we talked about. The little steps that are being taken, there's this thing called the Grocery Initiative. I had the pleasure of hosting Governor Pritzker, the Lieutenant Governor, and a bunch of other people that were involved in this at our future co-op home a couple weeks back. So I think one of the things that I've seen that's different in this particular initiative is that some of the requirements for the grocery stores that they're going to help with these funds, they must be located in what's considered a food desert. They must earn less than 30% of the revenue from alcohol and tobacco sales. They must accept, and I think this is really smart, they must accept SNAP and WIC.
And again, that's the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program for people who might not be familiar who are listening.
Thank you very much for that. Yes, that is.
I got your back. You throw up the acronym, I'll break it down for them.
WIC, which is Women, Infant, Children, I believe, and they must contribute to the diversity of fresh foods available in the community. So when you combine all those things together, I think those are pretty big statements, right? It's not, we're scoring them slightly higher if they have this. They're saying they must, to make sure that these dollars stay focused on what you want them to be focused on. They broke it into a couple different areas. So the first was around helping with capital improvements. So, you know, whether that's HVAC equipment, so heating, ventilation, air conditioning equipment, refrigeration units and freezers, lighting systems, helping the stores that are already there. The second part of it that they have been working on is to actually help to open stores in those areas. I believe it's $10 million that they have just announced for the actual creation of and opening of stores. Even if it's not the biggest funded initiative I've ever seen, if all those dollars go to the communities that need it most, mm-hmm. the dollars are going to go a heck of a lot further too. It's about some of the smaller stores. It's about the places that are in a community doing something and want to do better, but maybe don't have the resources. And by the way, I'm not, when I'm saying all this, I'm not knocking any of the big box stores that comes into a town or any of the big stores or a chain that's out there. I don't dislike any grocery store. I don't dislike anyone that is opening something where people can come and shop and get food at. The reason I say the thing about that I nothing some of those stores is I think you see it when we may put big tax dollars against a store and incentivize them to open in an underserved community. And when the profit margin on that store goes the wrong way, they pull out of that community.
Whole Foods, Inglewood, Aldi, Roseland, Walmart, yes. Chatham. You know, I'll put some names to it.
Yeah, exactly. But I think sometimes people get so emotional that those stores are pulling out of the neighborhood because they are against the neighborhood. And so they're not. They nothing that neighborhood, right? That neighborhood was, it looked like it was going to work on paper, and now it doesn't work on paper, and therefore they leave. That's one of the things that I love about when you can connect to a more locally connected store. Whatever that store may be, is they tend to ride the waves of the goods and the bads together because you're building a community. Mm. The folks that have a store in the neighborhood, especially an underserved neighborhood, they're there probably because they live down the street mm-hmm. or did live down the street. They want food in their area and they're trying to do as good as they can. Grocery is not a high margin business. And I think we need to find a way to help them to do better and to find ways to funnel some of the money into those types of stores instead of maybe the really large big box stores that don't have the same level of care that a neighborhood store may.
No, that's a very good point. And I like that you separated out in that answer your local corner store from maybe like your local Dollar Trees, your local Dollar Generals. Like those are still part of that sort of big box category. Yo, for everybody listening, I wanted to remind y'all of something. The City of Chicago Department of Business Affairs and Consumer Protection Office of Labor Standards oversees Chicago's landmark labor laws through engagement and enforcement. What does that mean for you? Well, Chicago's labor laws include minimum wage, paid sick leave, fair work week, wage theft, contracts for domestic care workers, and anti-retaliation. And even more, on July 1st, 2024, the following ordinances and update will go into effect. Number one, Chicago paid leave and paid sick and safe leave ordinance. Number two, a 5-year phase out of the sub-minimum wage for tipped workers. And number three, the annual minimum wage increase. Remember, the Office of Labor Standards processes complaints, conducts investigations, mediates disputes, directs settlement proceedings, issues violations, and if necessary, seeks licensure discipline against employers. For more information, visit www.chicago.gov/labor standards. And if you need to file a complaint, call 311 for Chicago labor law violations. But when we're also thinking about grocery alternatives, you mentioned things like the forthcoming Chicago market, but also local markets, local co-ops, even farmers markets. For people who may not be familiar with these types of alternatives, what do those look like and how do they serve certain communities?
So farmers markets, farm stands, CSAs, farm stores, you hear them called a lot of different things.
CSAs, what does that acronym stand for?
So CSAs stand for Community Supported Agriculture. So a lot of times you'll see this start at a farm, right? So a farm may have a certain amount of goods. And if people want to sign up for something, it's less about going to the store and picking what you want off the shelf, but it's finding a farm or finding a group of farms to say, I love what you make and I want more of it. Why don't you package up something and send me something on a regular basis?
My friend is, I think she just moved out into Oak Park, and there's a local sort of farm initiative, and she signed up and they just drop off a box of things, right? You might get some potatoes and some corn and some green beans and things like that. So, okay. Yep. I like, it seems like that's become more common, the sort of just like sign up with a local group and they'll send you fruits or produce. Yes. or you know, potatoes, whatever the case may be.
Totally right. Sometimes those can be very, very affordable because it's actually, what did the farmer grow? What do they have extras of? And so they'll pack this box full of things, but it's not the same as choosing off the shelf. Let's talk about farmers markets. Let's talk about farm stands. The farmers that are there that are growing the things that you want to eat, the tomatoes, the lettuce, the radishes, anything else that you like. If they have a farm stand on the side of the road, one of the ways that we can help to make the farm stands and the farmers markets more accessible to everyone is to make sure that they're able to accept SNAP. 1 in 4 Illinoisans are on SNAP benefits today. Mm-hmm. So if I have the right census data from last time, I think that puts us to what, 2.1 or something like that, million. So that is one of those programs. People often only think of it from the benefit of the shopper. For the store, for the farmer, for the farmer's market, if they accept those dollars, if they take the couple steps to be a SNAP-approved vendor and allow people to swipe that card at their store to buy things, that puts more money in that store. If it's a farmer's market or a farm stand, those dollars go directly to those farmers. And if you're shopping local, that means that more of that money stays in that community. It allows people to hire more. It allows people to invest. And then programs like what we do at Link Up Illinois, we do a program called Link Match. And so we double the spending power for people that are on SNAP for fresh fruits and vegetables. So for every dollar that a person spends at a farmer's market, for instance, we match dollar for dollar, and they can use that match for fresh fruits and vegetables. So you can go, you can buy that cheese, buy that bread. If you spent $15 on your Link card, on your SNAP benefits, we give you $15 in Link Match vouchers that you can go and use at the farms for any of and you can use it at that farmer's market. You can also use it at farm stands. I think sometimes people feel that a farmer's market is not going to be a place where, if you're on SNAP benefits, that you're welcome. Mm-hmm. Or if you do feel welcome, that you can actually afford it. And I think the more that we can make programs like this available, the more that we can take that out of the mix. We can make fresh, healthy food affordable.
What do you think is the biggest obstacle in the way of communities having access to this consistent, fresh, affordable produce?
One is knowledge. Can you even, what's out there? There's all these grants that are out there. One of the biggest issues of getting a grant or to do something is to even know where to start. And I think when you talk about a small business, top of mind for me continues to be this grocery initiative, but there are other programs that are out there that can help. We don't do a good job of getting the information into all the communities that need it.
What do you think? I just want to stay on this place of challenges, because I also want to know, do you see some of the biggest challenges facing the city when it comes to providing food security? Because, hey, they offer up some of our tax dollars as an incentive, some years later, the store closes, right? They have conversations about maybe a public-owned, maybe a city-owned grocery store. Like you said, we have some grant money, some city money to provide to local orgs. But it seems that the uptake of that, like how fast those are able to turn into brick and mortar stores, brick and mortar options for communities is slow, right? We know the city has the food bank and partners with local nonprofits. Like, what do you think are some of the biggest challenges facing the city when it's trying to, you know, provide better access to food security?
I think one of them is managing expectations. Sometimes when you're talking about building a brick and mortar store, the supply chain, and supply chain has gotten a lot better, but ever since the pandemic, supply chain is an issue. Getting refrigerators in, getting any of those pieces, the FF&E equipment that has to be there in the actual store, whether that's refrigeration, whether that's signs, whether it's any of those things, it takes time. And I think we've done a poor job sometimes of managing the expectations of the community that something is going to come into. So you hear about this, hey, we're given a grant, high five, yes, this is cool. But they're not mentioning that, hey, the store isn't going to open for another year and a half or 2 years or whatever that time frame may be. And the downside is between the high five session and the store opening, you get a lot of people that become very, very upset that it's not here.
Yes.
If we had managed those expectations better from the start to say, hey, here's our current plan. This is where we think it's going to open. This is what's going to happen. This is how the community is going to be involved. I think we could do a better job so that when the store does open, instead of it almost opening on its heels at the start, where the community is saying, where were you? Why weren't you here? You said you were going to open. I think that you could open with a little bit more excitement.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that comes around the managed expectations or the mismanagement of expectations.
As we're having this conversation, it feels like, how do I say this? It feels like this space, whether it is to try and provide more food to your community, try to find alternatives for yourself, it feels like there is both an individual component to this, things that we can do. But then when you talk about like supply chain, what it takes to actually put together a operation, you start talking about refrigeration and certification and signage, started to make me sort of like bring that down a little bit. Like, okay, well, there's some things we can do, but I guess my question becomes, how can a Chicagoan start a co-op, a farmer's market, a local grocery option in their neighborhood?
Well, and I think there's a couple different ways you can go about it. But the first one is do what you just did. Ask the question. And I'll tell you what, ask it around. Go if you have a farmer's market that you like that's a little bit further afield, go to the farmer's market, ask to talk to the market manager. Every single one of them has one. And then go talk to a couple farmers and ask the farmers, hey, what days aren't you doing something? The hardest step is usually having that first conversation. Well, specifically, there's a group. It's the Chicago Farmers Market Collective, CFMC. And it's a group that warms my heart every time I'm on one of the calls because it's a bunch of farmers market managers that get together just to share stories and to tell each other what we learned so that they can do better. I think that's another thing on the co-op side of things. If you talk to a co-op grocer, or frankly, anyone in the co-op space, but co-op grocery, there's all these cooperative principles. One of them, which my general manager will get so mad at me because I always give the very abbreviated version of it, which is Principle 6, and it has a beautiful title to it. And all I ever say is that it's sharing is caring. P6, so you'll hear it in the co-op community a lot that I want to P6 this. So Jacoby, I want to find out more about why is your voice so beautiful on this and what mic are you using? Tell me all about that. So I'm going to P6 that. I'm just going to find out from you and you're going to hand me a bunch of information. Now I didn't have to go research it. I found the person that has this silky smooth voice that I like listening to on the CityCast Chicago's, podcasts. And I'm going to learn from that person. Well, co-ops, and I think farmers markets in a lot of ways too, all have kind of that same mentality, sharing is caring. So I think that there's this worry that it's going to be the hardest thing you've ever done. Mm. And a lot of times, especially if you have some people in your community that all want it, find those people, go talk to a farmer and say, hey, I have 30 people that all want to buy from you. Can you stop by? And I've seen some farmers markets start that way, right? It's a farmer that stops by and opens the side of his van before or after another farmer's market. And I'm here for the next half hour. And it might start that way, but all of a sudden now the community knows, oh, we can come get good food here. Don't try to be Green City Market, which is one of the biggest farmers markets that you'll ever see. They do a bunch, they give back in a bunch of amazing ways. Start small. What do they say? Perfection is the enemy of good. Don't try to be perfect. Don't try to make this the perfect market. Just start. Start doing it. And that's, you'll be amazed how far you can go in that way.
When I look at some of the mutual aid offerings in the city, whether it's a Dion's, whether it's a Market Box Chicago, eventually these individuals, these organizations, right, they get a queue. Now they have a bunch of people kind of on the list who they're hoping they can serve eventually. Is there a place where people can go who, you know, don't have the money today and may not have it tomorrow, but they're looking for a way to maybe get free access to produce, you know, from a food bank or a local source? Is there a place they can go to kind of find out what's available to them? Where's a list they can check, a database they can check to see, you know, what might be offered nearby?
Where I would probably tell people to go is to either go to your local or call IDHS, which is the Illinois Department of Human Services. They do have quite a bit of information of what's available in your area and, you know, can give you that information. I know another one that I would recommend is talk to your alder person. The alder people are very tied into their community. And, you know, often, whether it's the alder themselves or someone on staff, they oftentimes at their office have a whole bunch of different brochures that you can grab. They might be able to point you in a good direction. But certainly the alder people are there to help us, and they represent the community that you're in. So I've found them to be a great resource, you know, to help point you in the right direction.
Well, again, we appreciate you making time today. Matthew Rufi is the Senior Program Director at Link Up Illinois and Board President of Chicago Market and a new friend of us here at the podcast. Thank you so much for making time.
This was an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, and keep up the great work. I can't wait to be listening.
Before you get up out of here, I want to remind you, CityCast Chicago does not start and end with the podcast. We've also got a fantastic website you can check out, chicago.citycast.fm. There you'll find the latest headlines, a full events calendar, and some pretty fantastic neighborhood guides. Also, you can subscribe to our daily newsletter, Hey Chicago, to get all of this and more in your inbox every morning, Monday through Friday. Now, something you're going to only find on the podcast, some good news. While I will be off the mic for most of the week while I take a little birthday vacation, you can catch me in person this Saturday night at 8 p.m. as I host Karaoke Storytellers at Steppenwolf. I know it says sold out on the website, but we do got some standby tickets. It's going to be a great lineup featuring none other than my brother Achilles. In the meantime, in between time, be back here bright and early tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. Peace.